this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome back to Y'allitics. This is going to be a quicker episode that we have here today. And here's what I like about our guest. Former Mayor Ron Kirk from Dallas, former Secretary of State, former U.S. Trade Representative. As soon as he walks in the Y'allitics studio here, he says, oh, here's the other Jason, the guy that likes to inflate his ego here.
No, I did.
He knows him. He knows him so well. I'm like, I love it. Never before has that happened.
And I didn't put up a huge argument either, you know, because listen, somebody's got to inflate me in this life.
I feel like I'm on an episode. What was the old deal with Denny Crane? It's good to see you both. I don't know, but Delkus and Dale.
Dale
used
Hansen?
To love.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Love.
I love that
Boston
you,
Legal.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love that you put Wheeler in his place out of the gate. So that just kind of helps start the episode.
No.
Well, what I hate is that I wasn't there when you first shook hands with Whiteley, though, because I don't know what was said there, but it was probably also detrimental to
I'll give you the 20 on the way out, Mayor.
Look, you should both be flattered. I'm one of those old people who still watches the news.
Oh, wow.
That
is flattering, actually.
We'll get you a link to this podcast. So I know your time is tight. You're still very busy. So we'll make this fast here. We're talking about the Dallas Hero Amendments. These are going to be on the ballot in November for anyone who's voting in the city of Dallas. And it's not just a Dallas issue, though. These could really set a precedent for cities all across Texas. Mm-hmm. It's what, ballot propositions S, T, and U.
S, T, U.
These things sound pretty good on the surface. They require the city to hire more police officers, pay them more. They require the city to pay the city manager on performance-based. Let's say you solve more crime or you reduce the crime rate, you get paid more money. Reduce homelessness, get paid more money. And then the last one that is really kind of remarkable too is a proposition that would let any citizen sue a city official. The city would waive its right to governmental immunity.
So you say all of that though, and that's kind of wordy there. The last time we did one of these podcasts, when Dallas Hero first came out with this, they put this, you know, together. They got the petition signatures they needed to get it on the ballot, and you know, they basically just said in very plain speak, hey, we're just looking for more officers and more accountability at City Hall. That sounds easy and good, and we probably had a lot of people nodding their heads out there. How difficult is it when it's broken down to that kind of language?
For those of you watching, thank you for your interest. Thank you all for doing this. Let me start at the end. The most important thing for you to remember, there is nothing heroic about this at all. Mayor Rollins, we had a press conference last week, I think you know.
Former Mayor Mike Rollins.
Every former mayor, every former council member, subsequently, the current mayor, all of the council members have aligned against this. It is a house of mirrors. It sounds good on its face, but it would absolutely financially cripple the city from being able to provide the most basic services, including fire and streets and library and everything else. It sets up an unreasonable standard for police, and it sounds good because I think most people know generally if you go to voters and say something back to blue, people's reflexive reactions, yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm. But what they give the police on one hand, they take away, and the most dangerous of the three, and all three amendments are bad, which is why we're asking people to vote no on all of them. But what they purportedly give you in terms of more civic engagement in the performance of the city manager or hiring more police, they strip away in this very dangerous proposition that strips Dallas of all governmental immunity across the board. Mm-hmm. And not just citizens, would allow anybody, a non-resident, to sue the city over what they perceive as the city not complying with their version of what our duties and responsibilities.
Do you see an avalanche of lawsuits coming out of that? I mean, we asked the proponents
Jason,
behind this.
We would be not only the only, and you'll be J2 since I've known him once. But Jason, you said this could be precedent setting. It won't be precedent setting because I think the effects of this will be so disastrous. No other city in their right mind would ever do this. Hmm. It would result in paralyzing the city from making the most basic decisions, because you will have an avalanche of lawsuits. Not only does it strip away standing, and I don't want to get too technical here, and I was, before I was mayor, you was kind, were kind. I was at the city attorney's office for 8 years, so I understand the implications of these. All local governments operate under an umbrella of legal protection for providing basic services, because we've decided as a country, look, everybody's got to have streets. We've got to have water. We want public safety. And absent some extraordinary conduct that falls outside of the good faith doing of your duty, you got legal protection. Mm-hmm. We would be the only city, not just in Texas, but in the United States of America, to unilaterally say, we're going to strip that away. Mm-hmm. And we're going to say, and I'm just being for example, let's say we're going to allow Bennett Montgomery, who's a name you ought to look up and reach, who is the driving force behind this HERO Amendment. He's funding it all. He openly brags about the fact that he participated in the January 6th insurrection against our country. And his only complaint was that he said, you members of the press didn't adequately show what happened. For something that we all watched with horror, for the first time, an attack on our nation's capital in over 200 years. And since he couldn't bring down our country from the top, for whatever reason, he's decided he's going to now attack our local government. And he doesn't live in the city of Dallas, but under his amendments, he will, I promise you, he will finance an avalanche of lawsuits against the city over what he perceives as our not meeting whatever standard he thinks there are. And what, even though I think the city would prevail in those, you try to manage a business where every decision you make, from how often you pick up trash to what library aisles, or whether we are trying to improve air quality, or whether we are hiring enough police or fire, every one of those decisions, every neighborhood zoning dispute is now going to end up in litigation. And what they also tucked in this Amendment S is that if they prevail, the city has to pay for it and pay their legal fees. Mm. So that gives a free shot for anybody upset at the city. And I will tell people, I loved there, and I've said then, I said as we were coming in, you ain't gonna ever have a mayor who loved it more than I did. Well, but every day I had people tell me what a horrible job I did, and somebody was mad at something, and now
we hear that a lot too, Mayor. So we hear that a lot as well. You're not alone there. You're talking about Monty Bennett, is who the guy who's the money behind a lot of this. People may not understand how city government works. I'm sure they go back to their civics classes. They may remember, but you said several times this would financially cripple the city. It would paralyze the city. Citizens elect a council to make the decisions on our behalf.
Right.
But if STNU pass, or S&T passes, these propositions, this would require the city, separate of city council, require the city to spend money on police separately from anything else. And if that money's already allocated there, that means city council has less money to spend on roads, street signs, libraries, parks, et cetera, right?
And it would be almost half the budget.
Well, what it says is half of all new revenue would go. And thank you for making that point. Look, our first responsibility as public servants is to safeguard the safety of our people. And whether you like the mayor and council or not, historically, that is number one. And probably 20 years before I was mayor to now, rough numbers, about 60 to 70% of most cities' budget goes to what we call public safety. That's what we do first.
Fire and police.
Same thing nationally. Most of our budget is defense, and then everything else comes. No council member wants to say we're not doing everything we can to make our city safe. We've had a goal, for example, to try to hire 250 new police officers every year. We rarely meet that goal because, one, it's hard.
Well, there are fewer, not just for Dallas.
Not just for Dallas.
Nationwide.
Right, but I'm just saying, we want to get to that goal, but we have to look at one. Dallas, to our credit, was the first city 40 years ago to say, you know, If we're going to allow you to put a firearm on your hip and basically give you the decision to make life or death decisions, we think you ought to at least have 2 years of college education. We're the first city to do that. We have a little higher standards. We have we spend more on training, and many of our smaller cities know that. So what they do is let us do the hiring, let us do the training, and then they don't have to worry about homelessness or some of the other issues we do. And they come to you after 5 years and say, hey, are you sick of working in Dallas? We'll give you a raise. You come, go to, you pick the city.
Mm-hmm.
So between attrition and poaching, it's hard. And we're in an environment now, this is a tough job. And it's why we hold in such high regard the people who do go into public safety. We go everywhere recruiting. You see billboards. We don't trying to find that. But you know what? So is every other city in the country. So one, we're not hiring people because the council said, oh, we're not going to do it. We just can't get them. But even if we hire, we want to make sure before they hit the street that they have the best training, the most resources. And so we know there is some science behind that 250 number. You know, it's a thoughtful approach to who can we adequately train, get ready, and put on the street, and then we try to keep them. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I would say, to this council's credit, and it's sort of been lost in this because underwriting this is this presumption, oh, the city doesn't care. Our city council and mayor unanimously just approved an $11 billion plan to shore up our police and fire pension program over the next, I think it's 20 years. So the amount of money we are dedicating to public safety is extraordinary and it is appropriate. And to just have a group come in and arbitrarily say, hey, do this, but then back it up with a, oh, by the way, you don't do it, now we're gonna sue you. And not only can they sue the city, and for those of you watching, please, substitute the word sue the city for sue you. Because if you live in Dallas, you pay taxes here. Bennett Montgomery does not. Most of these hero people are not going to be affected by this. But what is so dangerous about this first proposition, not only can they sue the city now they can sue individual employees, including police and fire.
So I want to ask you this because a lot of voters vote with their wallets, okay? What is the bottom line for someone in Dallas? Let's say these things get through, all three of them. Let's say that more lawsuits do. Let's say that avalanche of lawsuits you were talking about does materialize on the city. Let's say the city does have to have, its hands are bound. It has to hire all these new officers and it has to pay officers more. Will they be able to cut their way out of this and other pieces of the budget?
You can't cut enough.
So what happens then, bottom line, for people living in Dallas?
Look, our business is real simple. You either raise taxes or you cut services. So I don't know, and I would, you know, the city's a little bit crippled because they have to be careful legally. They can't spend money to advocate for or against. But at least in my rough math, forget the lawsuits. If this passes, you're talking about an additional $250 million, $250 million the city would have to come up just to fund the new hires.
And that's without the lawsuits.
That's with no lawsuits. And I don't want to be hyperbolic. Under that scenario, the first thing to go are going to be closing parks and libraries, reducing streets, and in an ironic twist, because this is limited to police, you're also going to have an impact on fire and EMS services. So either we have a massive tax increase to try to raise that revenue, or you're going to have to see massive reductions in all other basic city services. Hmm. It's just basic math.
It's and pretty stark.
It is very stark. And what angers me the most at the people behind this, most of them don't live in the city of Dallas, so they're not going to be impacted. But because they've written this language so broadly, they would be able to sue the city. Because we've eliminated standing, we've done blanket immunity, and I don't have them all, but it'd be interesting for you all to do. There have been four or five cities that have done some change to their governmental immunity. All of them to disastrous consequences. Look at Baltimore, look at Philadelphia, look at Detroit, a number of cities. That's why you just don't see this done.
Mayor, we only have a couple more minutes here before you have to get to your next event. But you said at the press conference the other day, this is like, if this passed, it'd be like rolling a grenade into City Hall. Former Mayor Mike Rawlings, your successor, said that, or one of your successors, said this is like chocolate-covered rat poison. I can read the hyperbole there, but here's my question. This has been out there for a few months now. We did an episode with Dallas Hero a few months ago in Oak Cliff at the Oak Cliff Brewery. Why are you guys starting this so late if it's such a big deal?
I think, one, and again, as we talked, I have been sort of outside. I think there was a hope. The city had, I think, did a legal challenge because some of this is legally dubious. But our Texas Supreme Court, which is not that friendly to our urban cities, threw all of those out. And so this has been building among the business community and others that we needed a much more vocal, coordinated response to it. And frankly, Bennett's got deeper pockets than we do. He's extremely wealthy. He's built a very successful hotel business. And they've sort of operated with the impunity that, you know, some of you are like, oh, let's do both sides of this. But it doesn't matter. The important thing, early voting starts in 2 weeks. For those of you watching, this will be the first time we've had city charter amendments on a state election. Mm. And we're going to be at the very end of a long ballot.
Yeah, I was going to bring
and
that
so
up.
So it's important that if you care about our city, you care about the future of our form of government, you've got to go to the end of the ballot and vote this, and vote these propositions down.
And Mayor, bottom line, you think this, for citizens of Dallas, this will directly impact?
If you live in Dallas, this, one, it disenfranchises you. Jason, you made the point. And for a lot of voters who live south and west of the city, for a lot of women that for years didn't have participation, part of the reason behind our form of government was to empower different neighborhoods, give people a voice through their elective representatives. This overrides all of that. It literally will neuter your city council person's voice. And whether you think we have the right form of government or not, one of the strengths of Dallas for years is that we've been one of the best managed cities in the world because we believe while we're complex, the business of running a city should be professionalized. And it shouldn't be politicized. That's why we have the council management form of government.
Mayor,
we're looking for a police chief now. We have an interim city manager. If this passes, would you take this job?
Yeah, because
you wouldn't do it.
You could be fired.
No police chief is going to come in here where you can be sued. Yeah. A city manager who now, I mean, one of the propositions says, the city's got to do some sort of poll of 1,400.
Yeah.
And imagine the people behind this don't like the answer they get.
Right.
They're going to sue.
So a very small minority of citizens could fire you as city manager. That's
well, they
the
can't
things.
Fire you, but they'll file a lawsuit and they'll challenge. And it'll just keep the city in a state of paralysis. We won't be able to make decisions. Most of the decisions we make are non-controversial. But there are a handful, zoning matters, property use, and others that can get pretty contentious.
Yeah.
Our ability to go out and sell Dallas as an attractive place to do business will be completely compromised. And I think we'll see an erosion of our tax base and an explosion of these lawsuits that are going to cost you, if you live in Dallas, more money.
I don't know what the stats are locally, but I know when you see propositions at the state level, a lot of times voters rubber stamp those. I can't remember the exact stat, but most of those pass. How concerned are you that people are, you know, we've got, you know, in some cases voters who, you know, just don't pay attention to the stuff that's at the bottom. Let's say they make it all the way to the end of this ballot and they see that language and this is the first time they're really taking any of this stuff in. How concerned are you that you're going to have people who just go, ah, that sounds good and click yes?
We're very concerned. And one reason we thank you all for giving us this opportunity to talk about it. We are marshaling together resources. It isn't just the former elected officials. It's why everyone from the North Dallas Chamber, the Black Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber, the Dallas Citizens Council have all bonded together and saying, hey, this is a very, very dangerous proposition.
How unusual is that to see all of these former leaders come together? I can't remember a time you've all done that.
It happens more than not, but usually it's because we're trying to pass a bond proposition to build more roads, to build libraries. Those are the things we fund.
But to come out so strongly as such a group like that against something, I don't remember seeing that.
It is unusual, and in the words of former police chief Ben Click, that's a clue. Everyone who lives here and is vested in it is telling you this is a bad thing. So don't be fooled by the flowery language they're using. And I don't want to politicize this, but people need to know who's behind this. I mean, for someone who participated in an assault on our nation's capital, our very foundation of governance, to now lead an effort to assault our local form of government is dangerous. And if you were concerned, if you were appalled by what you saw on January 6th, you should be appalled by what's going to be on the ballot on November 5th, and you got to vote no. And if you can't remember STU, just add PID to it. Just vote no on those last three propositions.
That's the first time I've heard that.
That's pretty good, Mayor. You saved that line for the end here. So, and if people have more questions or want more information, you have a website, votenodallas.org.
You know, I'm sure we do.
Did they tell you about that?
I think it's
votenodallas.org if they have other questions about your positions on this. Mayor, I know you have to run somewhere else. Thank you so much for the time, as always. We appreciate it. On behalf of J2 and myself, we do appreciate
the guy with
in,
the
sir.
Ego.
I said you're everywhere. We watch.
I am everywhere. That is true, Whiteley.
He's going to give me financial tips. He's safeguarding my money.
Do you want his financial tips, though, really, Mayor?
You probably don't.
This is
you
a could, financial podcast. You don't want his financial tips.
You could probably give me a lot of financial tips.
Hey, folks, we're laughing, but this is serious. Please take the time. Remember, early voting starts in 2 weeks, so you have a chance to go read up, study it, but vote no.
Yeah, however you feel about things, always educate yourself before you step in there, especially these days because they don't let you take your phone in.
You cannot take
your phone. I used to
do
that. They don't let you take your phone in and look at that anymore when you're actually in the booth.
All right. Mayor, thanks so much. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you're watching us on WFAA+, we really appreciate that. We're really putting these podcasts on there. So if you want to see us instead of just listening to us, please check us out, WFAA+. It's on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Amazon. Where else is it, Wheeler?
I think that's it. That's for now. It. Yeah. For now.
For now. We're growing it.
Everywhere,
just like the mayor said.
We'll see you soon.
Okay, y'all. The conversation doesn't stop here. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. We're @Yolitics.